Welcome to the Sacred Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore the many facets of feminine power and why it is so important for women and for men to step into this power in our world at this time. This is Emmy from Feminine Revered, and my beautiful guest for today is Karen McRandall. Karen is the creator behind the Divine Feminine app, a global directory of circles, events, and resources since 2016. If you combine the number of years of experience that the users of the Divine Feminine app have in doing the mother's work, you would be back in time to a society that valued the earth and the mother, recognizing that we are all her children and must work together as such. Karen's passion is to help regain this balance through sacred circles. Karen has participated in numerous online and location events, such as hosting an intersectionality workshop and participating on a panel at the recent Parliament of the World's Religions in Chicago, as well as the online parliament in September of 2021. A webinar and panel with Dale Allen presenting Dale's indie film award-winning In Our Right Minds, and many more. Each and every day, Karen, also known as Karen Moon, works joyfully in her belief that the most important area to first find equality and balance is the divinity found within yourself. That's beautiful. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
It's a blessing to have you with us. And I've been wanting to have you on the podcast now for quite some time. So I'm super excited to have you here.
Oh, and I've been following your podcast and hearing so many wonderful things about the work you're doing. So thank you. I'm glad we finally managed to schedule it.
Oh, absolutely. Great. Well, I can't wait to dive in into our themes for today. But before we go there, Karen, I would love to hear from you. What does sacred feminine power mean to you personally?
So sacred feminine power is very important to me. I grew up in a long story short, but a very masculine environment where my mother became the breadwinner for our family due to some health issues that my father had. And she was a pharmaceutical rep for Bristol Myers Squibb and a great one. She was like top in the country. She got European trips and awards. And meanwhile, I pretty much raised myself. Nowadays, there are a lot of stay-at-home dads, but my dad, I loved him dearly, but I don't know where he was or what he was doing. A lot of times he was off doing something or trying to make something work. And I read a lot of books, got into a lot of trouble, and I never really... To me, feminine when I was growing up was Barbie. Feminine was pink nails and Barbie. And I grew up in Plano, Texas, north of Dallas, Texas, with a drill team that looked like the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. And I always had this bar that I couldn't get to. And that was feminine. And I didn't like how feminine to me, a lot of times I saw that they drew these circles and you were either in the circle or out of the circle. And then they were very conniving and backstabbing and just all the bad things that you hold sometimes in our culture towards feminine. So I turned to I was one of those people who had a lot of male friends growing up. And I loved the fact that to me, men were simple and straightforward. And you didn't have to guess about things of you know, I preferred that. But, you know, over time. And fast forward, two failed marriages, four children. And I realized that I really was missing the feminine in my life. And a decade ago, when I first started hosting circles and learning about them, and I started my app, the Divine Feminine app, then that was when I really, I changed my definition of feminine. And to me, feminine strength is so needed in our society, and it's something that's been misunderstood. And it's not the same as masculine strength. We're strong because we cycle. We're strong because we're intuitive and we're nurturing, and we look at what all our children, and they don't have to be your biological children. They can be people that you work with or clubs that you're in or circles that you host, whatever. But that feminine power is to look at them and see what they're strong in and what they're challenged with, and then account for that and make it work. And then, of course, the second part of that, so that to me is feminine power. And then you bring in the sacred, and the sacred is something that I also dearly needed growing up, had anxiety issues and not much of a support network, ran into this challenge and that challenge, and had to learn how to carve out that sacred space. Nowadays, when I go into circle or when I go into the woods or when I'm listening to a meditation, you know, I close my eyes and I go inward. And when I open them, it's a totally different world. I've stepped into a different world, a world that's mindful. And, you know, combining the two, the sacred feminine and power, it's what's needed right now.
That certainly is true. Needed perhaps more than ever before in the history of our planet. And I love how you openly shared about your childhood and started to delve into the kinds of challenges that you have faced on your path as well. And I was wondering, Karen, if you'd be happy to go a bit deeper into either the challenge that you faced as a child or another challenge later on in life that's really helped you to activate sacred power, feminine power within you.
Yes. And I have been somebody who I've always been willing to share my challenges. And I would take that as another aspect of the feminine power, because sometimes in the past, people have taken that as a weakness that I'm willing to talk about these things, but it's not. To me, that is, it's so powerful. I was on a online workshop one time, and I'm not going to say who it was, but there was somebody that she's well known and well respected, and she was having a tough time with some health issues and some other personal things going on in her life, and she was kind of a mess. And it was going to be recorded, and she spoke about it before we began the recording, and in my mind I was like, oh wow, we're going to have to edit this out. We're going to have to redo her part. And, you know, that was fine, whatever. But when we started recording, she stepped up and was there. And what she said was so powerful and so spot on. And it was so empowering to me to be able to see that human side of her and then have her overcome that and step up and just have something incredible to say and contribute. To me, that's another very important thing about the feminine. We've gotten to this point in our culture where, you know, we're used to perfect. We're used to, we turn on Instagram, we see these Instagram videos or we see these pictures and they're so perfect. And we think, you know, that we have to live up to that. And we've forgotten how to dance, even if we're not good at dancing, or sing, even if we're not good at singing. And I know I'm not talking about anything personal, but I can now go down that road too, if you want, Emmy. Long story short, as I said before, I had two marriages that failed. I had four kids, and I never imagined that I would have four kids. In fact, somebody I grew up with, had told me, she said, I never even thought you'd be a mother. Mm-hmm. And here I am with four kids. But I got pregnant with my fourth child when I was 42. And she was really the catalyst for these past decade in my life, because it was one of those things where, you know, we walked down a hallway and I found myself pregnant at 42, and I had this, oh my God, you know, if I don't meet some like-minded people in my life, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was really at a low point in my life. My marriage was struggling. And I ended up starting a mother's group with other kind of natural minded mothers. And one of them was the one who asked me if I would like to have a full moon circle. She did universal dances of peace. And we had one in my backyard in front of a fire and a full moon. And it just clicked. As Clarissa Pinkola Estes said, you know, the cells in my body responded, and I knew it was something that I needed to pursue, and here I am.
No, I got goosebumps as you were talking about the cells of your body responding to that gathering. That's such a powerful, visceral proof or affirmation that you are doing something that you're meant to be doing and your whole body is telling you that. That's really beautiful. What would you say is the divine meaning or the hidden blessing in that challenge that you went through and that you're on the other side of now, and perhaps see it also from a bigger picture perspective?
Everything. Absolutely everything. I, you know, if I sat here and went into it, my life feels like it has been filled with challenge after challenge after challenge. Comparing it to a lot of other people, it's not. I understand that I'm still have a very privileged life. I've never been homeless. I've never been hungry. I have so many blessings, but at the same time, I've had so many challenges, but every single one of them have made me the person that I am sitting in this chair today. And I would not give up any of them. I was in Chicago almost 20 years, and then I moved to Alabama about 4 years, 3 or 4 years ago. And when I got here, I ended up starting a public circle this about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And it was one of the best circles that I've ever hosted in my life. There was about 15 people regularly coming. And it was an amazing circle. And I had an incident with that circle where I ended up addressing a couple of people that I had had a conflict with and I had not spoken about. And it ended up, long story short, blowing up the circle. And it was nasty and it was ugly and it hurt really, really bad. But in looking back at it, it taught me these things that I needed to know about community. I've shifted my whole perspective on community, that community is so needed by us as human beings. And, you know, it doesn't mean that everybody sitting in my circle is going to be my best friend. We just have to allow each other. And I would still do the exact same thing I did then, because I went with this conflict in a way that I was honest and I wasn't trying to hurt them. I wasn't trying to put them down as people. I was just saying, this has affected me this way. And then what happened happens, but I learned from it. And that's how I look at my entire life, is I have had all these challenges, but every single one of them, I've been able to look at the gem within the challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And it's just to be able to see those challenges as gems and gifts is such a gift. And not everybody is able to do that and kind of rise above the challenges. So for someone who's experienced lots and lots of different challenges, it's beautiful to hear that every single one turns into a deeper appreciation for the self and a gem of sorts.
Growth opportunities is what I like to call them.
Indeed. Yeah, that is the perfect way to describe them. Yeah, beautiful. Well, let's dive a bit deeper into this topic of sacred circles, something that I absolutely love as well, and was also very disconnected from my feminine for the longest time. And stepping into a circle with women who are like-minded and dedicated to the same kinds of themes is just absolutely magical. What for you, apart from what you've already described to us, is really the biggest plus in terms of sacred circles?
Well, I'm going to go one step farther, is not just stepping into a circle of like-minded women, but stepping into a circle, period. Stepping into a circle of people that are all genders and maybe even people you don't agree with. It's so needed. It's so essential. It's so healing. And there's so many growth opportunities. I honestly, a huge part of saying that I'm so happy with who I've become sitting here and today is because of circles. And I started them off as women's circles. And I started them off, it's funny because they're so beautiful and magical that I think you attract exactly what you need. And I saw that over the years. And I started them off and they really were more of healing. They were really more, oh my God, this has happened to me. And how did I get here? And what can I do to change this? And those were the types of circles that I hosted for a few years. And then, you know, it just evolved to where the circle became something more that my most important job is holding the rim and enabling everybody to come and contribute and learn from it. I hosted the first, my daughter, who was 14, I hosted a first moon circle for her just this past weekend. And, you know, I have not included them in my circles. They've been included to the, you know, I host the circles at my home a lot of times. And they'll see the people come in. A lot of times they'll maybe walk through there if it's a, you know, more open circle, or afterwards when we grab something to eat, they're talking to them. But they really haven't been involved in the circles. I did a couple of them in Illinois where I had girls' circles, and they were actually tiring. Because with kids, you know, they don't censor, and they don't, you know, they're going to say whatever they feel, and they're not going to cooperate, and they're going to be antsy, and they're, you know, all these different things. So it wasn't working for me right then. But now I was like, I need to try this again. And with my daughter experiencing her first moon, I see how very important it is. So I hosted this, and they, of course, you know, they did what I expected. They were antsy. They were like, really, Mom, we got to do your crazy stuff, you know? And at the same time, Emmy, I saw how much they needed it. And I had these little glimpses of, you know, we pulled cards, and my daughter, you know, came and summed up her cards so beautifully. And the other one I talked about, well, on new moon circles, I set intentions. And then 6 months later, I look at that intention and I think about how much I've done, and does it need to be changed? I try to kind of look at it. And she set an intention that was incredible. And I'm continually blown away how the difference between communication and inspiration and healing, and how very powerful a sacred circle is. I'm also going to say, maybe this will lead into something we'll go into next. I'm also blown away. I've had the Divine Feminine app almost a decade now, and each and every day people have found it and joined. I've been able to meet people and organizations all over the world. It's been an absolutely incredible experience. And I consider myself so fortunate to be able to do this. And at the same time, I'm completely amazed at how many of these women do not have their own circle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what I call the sister wound is still quite strong in our world. And a lot of women are trying to make it on their own, without the support of other women lifting them up, and very often experiencing women pushing each other down rather than supporting each other, and all these dynamics around comparisons and criticisms and judgments and so on. I find that that is still very much alive as well.
Yes, very much. And I think it's also that perfectionism curse that I mentioned before, is they think, well, in order to have a circle, it has to be perfect, and it has to look like Martha Stewart, and it has to have this altar that I could take Instagram pictures for, and I have to be certified and put all this time and energy into it. And none of that's true. None of it. If you don't mind, I have some guidelines. Can I read them off? Just that I start off every circle with.
Yeah, and go for it.
These guidelines, this to me is all a circle need. So we gather around a sacred center, a place of focus, a place of balance, a place of beauty. We breathe deeply. We welcome silence. We welcome song. We welcome poetry. We welcome imperfection and the expression of our perfectly imperfect selves. We limit chit-chat and use lean speech. We do our best to balance our speech, letting each of us speak and recognizing we all bring our unique gifts to the circle. We respect our elders, knowing each gray hair and wrinkle is an experience lived, wisdom and perspective gained. We listen 100%, no phones, no interrupting. We listen to each and every word. We strive to find a balance between the head-bobbing affirmations we all sometimes need and providing the opportunity for each person to step fully and unapologetically into their own power and truth. We do not interrupt unless someone is taking more than their fair share of time and energy, and then we gently guide them back onto the circle path. We hold everything said in circle as confidential, We come from a place of non-judgment, realizing we each have our own unique perspective. We address and are open-hearted, honest when we feel wronged, again, listening to each other and allowing each other our different perspectives, learning, and realizing we are all works in progress. We recognize this is a place of healing, and we do our part to share with the intent of healing ourselves in the world. We tell stories, not advice. We know that each of us carry the answers inside us already, and Circle is a place to find them.
That is so beautiful. I love the words that you use there and how beautifully it really builds the sacred container for the Circle and makes it very clear for everybody what is expected and what is opening up, the opportunities that open up for everyone when they step into that Circle.
Well, thank you for letting me read that. I do want to say, I believe I originally got that from gatherthewomen.org. It was, rearranged a little bit from one that they had. And over the years, I see everybody with the same things that they're putting as this is how you do Circle. And, that's all you need. That's all you need to meet that way.
I love that. I love the simplicity of that, that at the same time is incredibly powerful. And as you were talking there, I was wondering, Karen, have you come across, because I'm hearing this from some friends and colleagues as well, have you come across the shadow side of women's circles where potentially somebody could be misusing their power within that circle, obviously not adhering to the kinds of guidelines that you are putting forth there, and maybe having this perhaps like a guru kind of an approach to holding that space and these unhealthy kind of power dynamics within a circle?
Of course, because we're human. And this is where we do our learning. And as I just related, I had this experience where my circle blew up and all these people that I considered my friends scattered and they were all gone. And some of them said some things to me that I was like, oh my God, I've totally been seen wrong. And I run into all the time dealing with people where I see, oh wow, that's kind of ego, where I see what they're doing. And I always, it's funny because when I called myself a Christian, I would always say that, yeah, there are some people who are not so good and are Christians, but who would they be without church? They would be even worse. They may cut you off on the way out of church, but without this, this container to try to be better, they would be even worse people. So it's all like this, it's all this continuum, this line that makes you a little bit better. So some of those people who maybe aren't the best at hosting or keeping their ego out or doing some of these things, then, I still believe it's a vehicle for growth for them. And it's going to even out, and the things that are going to happen are going to happen. Now, that said, do you have to be careful? Yes, most definitely. You always want to be second guessing, is this something good for me? You never want to let somebody else tell you what to do and what to believe. And to me, that is the beauty of a circle, is that it carves out the space for you to figure out your own stuff.
Yeah, that's very true. What you said about needing to be very careful, I think is really, really spot on as well, especially for perhaps women who have not been part of circles and are coming to these as newbies, and to really see it as a platform or the safe and sacred container where they can start to trust their inner knowing and their inner voice more and more as well.
But don't let that keep you from going. I think today, we're part of the issue today is that because of social media and the internet, we have this overinflated view of the danger of the world. And that's not true. The world is safer today than it's ever been. I mean, in medieval times, they used to put heads on pikes outside of cities, So, I mean, we're more civilized and we're more safe. It's just that we see all these instances of things, horrible things that happen because they get videotaped, And so we've all become very secluded and insulated in our homes. And I think it's essential that we get out and we go to circles and we meet people heart to heart. I have been able to meet and connect with people online that I'm so grateful to the technology that I can talk to people in other parts of the world. But at the same time, nothing beats getting in front of your neighbors and people local in your community. And, you know, that's we've lost that ability to interact with people who think differently from us, and we need to find it. That to me is part of the feminine power, is allowing everybody and then figuring out ways that we can all, you know, go forward.
So very true. So very true. Especially in these times of change and transition that we are in, where there seems to be a lot of intentional polarization and finger pointing and even fear mongering happening on our planet. So yeah, finding our way to circle and being able to speak our truth and be heard and heard for who we are in those circumstances is so very important and powerful.
Yeah, I you know, these are amazing, challenging times. And I'm more so than ever before these days, I feel like I'm living in two different worlds. And one world is beautiful and amazing and filled with possibility and opportunity and joy. And the other world, can I cuss on here?
Yes, you can.
It's scary as shit, you know? Yeah. When you turn on the news and you pay attention, you're like, oh my God. Oh my goddess. What in the heck, you know? So it's so important these days to connect with like-minded people and stay on that positive path. I really feel that we are essential, all of us who are doing this work, to helping to change the world. I sit there and I look at what's going on. I'm watching Ted Lasso. I don't know if you're familiar with that show, but it's an Apple series show that Brené Brown had recommended on her podcast. And it's so funny. I'm sitting there watching that last night, and they're talking about having tickets to go to a pagan event at Stonehenge. And then the woman who owns the soccer team is talking about when she has a challenging situation, how she draws on her own power. She takes a minute and she breathes deeply and she puts her hands up, and then she does that tiger face, you know, and she fills herself up to where she feels her power. And then she's able to walk into the boardroom of white rich millionaires who own the football team. And I see this divine feminine in so many aspects of our mass culture right now. It's everywhere. She really is back. I mean, she is here. And at the same time, I also have kind of gotten to this point where I understand that your job and my job and all these other people who have been doing this work is just focus on that 1%. Focus on the 1%. That understand what's happening in the world today and still have joy and hope and see the opportunity and get together, help each other, encourage each other, lift each other up. And together, we're going to change the freaking world.
Amen to that.
Amen to that.
Amen to that. Yes. I love that. I haven't heard that reframe before.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, how is the Divine Feminine app contributing to all of this, Karen? I mean, it's a massive undertaking, and I love how you've been growing over the years with this app. How is the Divine Feminine app really making a difference in the world right now?
It is a global directory for all these different circles, events, and resources. And as I said, it's been added to over these past decade. No corporate pockets. It's been my personal money that I have put in there. It's been my personal time that I've put in every single day. I've been lucky enough to have a operations team in India that I've worked with the entire decade and made very good friends with the man who's been helping me do this. And the end result is something that would cost $1 million over here, we have. And, you know, very much more in the beginning, I see that it was a stake in the ground. It was like, I intend to do this and I'm going to put this circle or event on the app and put my information and join that 1%, you know, that is working towards making a better world and meeting in sacred circles and, you know, helping to balance out the world. And now we've been putting some different functions into place where, because my belief is strongly that we need to get out in our local communities, and now is the time to do that. And to get back heart to heart, what we did is we put a function into place where it emails out every week any local events that are in your area. So it's a great way to organize that and keep it. One of my benchmarks was when it works for you, it's going to work for other people. And it works for me now. I regularly look down at the app on my phone and I'm like, what's coming up this weekend? And then if I have time, I can go to it. I can also save it to my calendar. It comes out. I read the email when I have extra time. If there's not anything local in your area, some of the online virtual events, they're all amazing. And they give me such hope. I've had really crappy days in my life that I've sat down to my computer and I've started looking at the events and I've started, you know, responding to the emails or saying, oh, maybe I'll do that this weekend. And it changes everything. It shifts everything.
That is so beautiful. Yeah. And I love also scrolling through the app and seeing all these amazing, amazing events that are taking place all around the world. And the online events just make it possible for anyone to attend from anywhere in the world. So really kudos to you, Karen, for starting this app and making it such a beautiful container for all things divine feminine.
Thank you. And that's the web that matters. One of all of us across the world and how we're all connected. And in reality, it really is a small world, a small goddess world.
Yeah, very true. That's so very true. And I understand that you've got a gift for our listeners that is linked to the app as well.
Yes, yes. So the app is free to use. Just go on to the divinefeminineapp.com. It'll pop up where you put in your name, your email, what your primary location you want it to send. Part of the app is we try not to be intrusive. I'm very much against how technology creeps into every aspect of our life. So you put in the primary location that you want to see what local events are. And then the way that the app is funding itself is through our members. There's a recurring subscription of either $5.99 or $6.99. And what I'm doing for Feminine Revered is you use the code Feminine Revered, and you can go to the website, thedivinefeminineapp.com, top right, hit upgrade membership, scroll down and put in that code, and you will have 6 months of premium membership. It means that you can enter unlimited featured events. So you can put in virtual events that will get emailed to thousands, or you can put in local events. You can put on your profile with all of your social media, website, intro, where you're at. And then you can also go on the resource section. And that's a very underused section of the app. It has podcasts like yours, books, music, all these different things that I use a lot. When I'm traveling and I want to listen to a podcast, I'll go on there and just hit the podcast filter and then say, oh, I'm going to go listen to Emmy's podcast.
That's really great. Thank you so much also for the gift for the listeners. I really appreciate that. And I really hope that loads and loads of people will be joining the app based on this interview. That's really great. Yeah, wonderful. Karen, is there anything else that's still arising for you to be shared that feels really important and urgent right now?
No, just to reiterate, the 1% really is in my mind. I was speaking to a good friend of mine the other day, and she's been doing this work for 30, 40 years. And she said, you know, same as me. It's funny. I run into people and we're all on the same page. Like I said, at the beginning, it was kind of personal healing work, and then it changed and it shifted and it evolved. And I think right now, I see so many of us, we've kind of figured out our personal stuff. And of course, you never get it all figured out. There's always something else to work on, but we're stronger and I can handle it and I can do this. And I know, you know, how to go the direction I want to. Now is the time, though, to look outward. And now is the time to meet in these sacred circles and listen and learn and participate in sacred activism. And there's such possibility in the world right now. And we need to keep that in foremost in our mind.
So very true. Very wise words for us to start wrapping up with. Thank you so much, Karen, for coming on to the show. Really, really appreciate you giving us us your time and your energy, and just love everything that you do in the world. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And back at you. Very much so. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Now, everybody, just for a moment, let's focus our intention and our awareness on this really beautiful, inspiring energy that's been activated. And imagine sending this energy to everybody and everything on our planet to remember that we are all one. And that the more of us have the courage to step into our sacred feminine power and really start becoming perhaps more visible in the world, the more quickly our planet will also heal and ascend. Thanks so much for listening.